Preacher Ware Tie, and I thought I'd do a little message on that this morning. I appreciate the brother that posted that message. It is something to consider, how we should dress and talk and act. It all goes along in our walk with the Lord. It should be pleasing to God how we act, how we dress, how we talk, how we conduct ourselves in public. So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. There, the Bible says a lot about raiment and clothes and coats and dresses and how you should dress and how you shouldn't dress. And it says more than I could put into this message. There's a lot more you can look into. There's a lot more you can read about this message, about this subject, that you can learn from. The Bible has warnings in there, and it has this other things of how we should act and how we shouldn't act, and it also warns us about things we should do and things we shouldn't do. But James chapter 2, starting in verse 2, it says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing," and that word gay doesn't mean as we perceive it today. That means happy, cheerful, gay clothing. It has nothing to do with homosexuality. It has to do with happiness and gay and right. "And you say unto him, sit here in this good place, and you say to the poor, stand thou there, sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves? Are ye become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" Listen, loving God has nothing to do with what you're wearing today. Nothing. "But you despise the poor. Do not rich men oppress you?" We see it every day that the rich men are the oppressors of this world. The rich men control the media. The rich men control the corporations. The rich men control the governments. They oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name which thou art called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin. Listen, put that plainly. Somebody walks in with a gold chain and a big gold ring, rubies, a rich suit, fine silk clothes, and you say, "Oh, you need to sit here. You need to sit up front in the good place. The place where the air conditioner comes down and blows on you." But somebody come in beggar clothes and you put him in the back row or under your footstool, you're sinning. You're having respect for persons. You're judging that man by the way he's dressed, and he could be a child of God. That's right. It is right. "But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." You're guilty of all of it. Just break one and you're guilty of all. We need to understand that. I was at an occasion one time, the place I worked, and we had a dinner, and we went to the fanciest restaurant in Savannah. And I was at home. I figured I better dress up for this. I mean, the owner of the company is going to be there. The president of the company is going to be there. So I put on my nicest suit, my tie, and all, and we went to dinner. Well, I was quite surprised how overdressed I was. It made me feel funny. None of the other employees showed up in a suit and a tie. Even the owner of the company was there in just casual clothes. And there I sat in a suit and a tie. It was awkward. It was awkward. Hey, listen. We're not like the Catholics or the Methodists that require the preacher to dress a certain way, to wear a tie. I mean, those denominations, they wear a collar. You can pick out who the preacher is by how he's dressed and not how he acts, not how humble he is or how meek he is, but by how he's dressed. I can't answer this question completely about should a preacher wear a tie. It can't be answered, but I can tell you if the church was to get together and vote on a dress code and say, our preacher dresses this way, or you're not the preacher, then yes, there can be a dress code. But what need do we have of a dress code? We don't need a dress code because we have good, humble Christians and we have good, humble preachers. That know it's right that they represent God. And how they dress, and how they talk, and how they walk, how they clean. I had jeans on today. And probably I've worked in these jeans before, but I know they're clean. They don't smell bad. And people are not offended by jeans in this day and age. That's a very strong scripture there, James chapter 2. Very strong words. Words we need to take to heart. I don't have much problem with how the preacher dresses here. He dresses very nice. He wears a tie. He feels like he's going to dress how he needs to dress. When the Lord comes back, the Bible says, don't run home and change your clothes. You're in the field. You might miss it. If you're in your work clothes and you have to, I'm going to run home. If the Lord Jesus Christ was right down the street, I'm going just like I am. I'm going to meet him. Tie or no tie. Not changing my clothes. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Starting at verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath, without doubting. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And that's talking about the women specifically there, because they have different body types than the men have. And listen, if the preacher shows up in a dress, I might have a problem with that. Because the Bible's clear about not wearing things pertaining to a woman or a man. And yes, you can dig into that and it could be talking about armor. But it says don't wear nothing pertaining to a woman. I take it literally as it's spoken. In modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Costly array. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Listen, the emphasis there is put on godliness and good works. More to consider. In Genesis, you don't have to turn to this one, but in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, we can see where Adam and Eve, they sewed fig leaves together. They sewed leaves together to make covering and made themselves aprons because they were ashamed of their nakedness. But God made them coats of skin. Those fig leaves were not sufficient. They were not sufficient to cover the sin of Adam and Eve, the nakedness of Adam and Eve. And God made them coats of skin. God killed those animals. God sewed them together. God dressed them in a manner that was pleasing to Him. And it's no coincidence that He put Adam and Eve in the garden to keep and to dress it. I know it's talking about dressing a garden, but the emphasis can also be on dress, how you dress. Listen, if I was at my house, at my garden, and I knew the Lord was coming to see it, I wanted all the rows straight. I wanted all the weeds pulled. I wanted it all cleaned up. I wanted everything staked. I don't want no stickers or thorns in there. Because He put us here to keep and dress the garden. And that dressing's talking about dressing. And in the same light, if He was to come to this church this day, I would hope He would understand my dress is clean. No, there's no tie, but my dress is clean. We're going to touch on that just a little bit more in just a second. Listen, in Mark chapter 9, and I know I'm going to bounce around a little bit, but all these verses and all this scripture talk about raiment and dressing. In Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 2, and after 6 days, Jesus went up with him, Peter, and John, and James, and leadeth them into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Jesus was transfigured on that mountain, and the Lord God dressed him in white. He made him shine. He made his raiment shine, and that raiment shone pure, whiter than snow. It doesn't say the others that were transfigured with him shone like that, but the Lord Jesus did. He shone with whiteness that we can't comprehend. I found that very interesting. In the book of James, again, chapter 5, James chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says your riches are corrupted, talking about that rich people. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Money's not going to save your soul. Nice clothes are not going to save your soul. Clothes I'm wearing now are just as good as moth-eaten ones. The money I have in the bank isn't going to do me a bit of good concerning God. God says our monies are corrupt, our riches are corrupt, and our garments are moth-eaten. You ever seen a moth-eaten garment? It's got a big old hole in it where they'll eat a hole. And then it rips very easy after the moths get to it. Because I'm not a perfect man, I can't tell you where this next scripture is from. But I can tell you who spoke it. And Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth the servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all the things are ready. Come unto the marriage. So they made light of it and went on their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. You know, that's talking about us. But when the king heard of it, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city, and saith unto the servants, the wedding is ready, but they have which were bidden are not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, and bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man there which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou hither not having a wedding garment? Why aren't you dressed right for a wedding? And that man would speak to us. He didn't know what to say. He was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. There's a little show we watch on YouTube called Early American, where they reenact people. And the couple there, they're getting married next month. And they bid folks to their wedding. And they've asked them, we want you to dress traditionally. We don't want you to order a Halloween costume and come. And they said, if you can't dress traditionally, then wear your normal clothes. But they don't want people there in Halloween costumes. You see, it's their marriage. It's their call on how to dress at their marriage, just like it's God's call. It's a good little show. They don't do much talking when she cooks on the open fire and does the old 1700, 1800 recipes. And I'm glad to see them getting married this month. So the king cast that fellow out of his wedding ceremony. He wasn't dressed appropriately. He didn't have on Jesus Christ. His clothes weren't washed in the blood. And there's no other alternative for people like that but to cast them into utter darkness. Jude, the book of Jude, Jude chapter 1, verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last day. Mockers in the last day. You know, there's people that will condemn us for not having a preacher up here with a collar or a tie on. And they'll mock and say, what kind of people are you? Who should walk after their own ungodly lusts? These be they who separate themselves. They're sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, And of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that's spotted by the flesh. I hate these clothes because they clothe a wicked, nasty, fleshly body. They're spotted by my flesh. Yours are too. Spotted by the flesh. The garments are spotted by the flesh. Those fig leaves were spotted by the flesh. God had to take blood to clothe Adam and Eve. It cost them blood. And those fig leaves were spotted by the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you are subject to one another." We're all subject to each other. "And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble." I thought, you know, maybe I'll put me one of them fish stickers on the truck, or I'm a Christian, but I don't know what I'm going to be doing in that truck, and I know that sticker represents God. The clothes I'm wearing today should represent God. They should be clean. Shouldn't smell bad. You're God's representative. And you should be humble. Listen to what the Lord said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. He saith, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest that thou art not wretched, knowest not that thou art miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mightest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent." He counsels us to buy clothes from Him. He counsels us to buy the white raiment that we might be clothed, and that the shame of our nakedness doth not appear. And I'm coming to the end. I did skip over a few because there's just so many verses that talk about clothes and raiment. Let's talk about just a second the Good Samaritan. What we call the Good Samaritan. Where the man that was on his journey, and they robbed him. They stripped him naked. They beat him half to death. And they left him on the side of the road. And the Levite came by and he walked right on. Naked man over there, beat half to death. Yeah. And the priest walked by and he went to the other side of the road. "I ain't having nothing to do with this." You know, back in the day, they knew who you were by how you dressed. And if you were naked, they didn't have any idea who you were. But thank God that Samaritan came by. What did he do? Tended his wounds. And he took his own clothes and gave them to him and covered his nakedness. The Bible's talking about who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Or the Samaritans were despised people by the Jews. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Gave him his own clothes, put him up on his own mule, took him to the hospital, had his wounds tended, left some money there to have it fixed. Whatever he needs, you buy. But he covered his nakedness. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. If I ever get in a car wreck and it rips all my clothes off and I'm laying out there in the street dying, somebody please cover me up. Loan me your jacket. Cover up my nakedness. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're half dead, you're naked, and He covers it. Not only that, He puts it in the heart of Samaritan to help you out. I may not judge you by the clothes you wear to church, but if I catch you in Walmart in your pajamas, I may say something to you. Because you're a representative of Jesus Christ. And if a man comes in here in beggar clothes, he can sit up front. And if he needs clothes, I'm going to go in there in my closet and get him some of my own. And if he don't take that, we'll go to Walmart and buy him some. In closing, this is important. This is really important. Should a pastor wear a tie? That's a question I can't answer. That's a question that deals with your own conscience between you and God. How you dress. There's the lady, I'll tell the lady, you go out there to the beach and let it all hang out. Something's going to happen. Why? God commands us, the women especially, to dress modestly. And that applies to the men as well. But if you turn, this is the last verses I've got here today. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we'll start there in verse 34. And they gave him vinegar to drink, mixed with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink it. And they crucified him. And they parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Listen, when he hung up there, he was naked. They took everything he had, and hung him on the cross. And his garments were obviously nice. They were obviously valuable. I mean, if they were beggar's rags, they wouldn't have been arguing over and fighting over who's going to get this nice coat, who's going to get this nice jacket and this cloak. Christ didn't wear beggar's rags. You shouldn't either. You're one of His. I know there's a time to work and there's a time to be dirty. If the Lord came to my garden, I would be covered with dirt. There would be dirt under my fingernails. I'd probably have it on my face. I'd be sweaty and nasty. Because that's a person. That's humanity. That's a picture of how bad you really are. And when he comes, I'm not running back to the house to change clothes. So we need to realize our personal dress is, we are Christ's body. We can be looked at as His raiment. It could be valuable. They could be nice. I know this building is not the church. These grounds are not the church. It's those people. It's the people, the assembly that's the church. But this building and these grounds and what you're wearing today could be considered Christ's vestment. How He dresses. And how you keep this building and how you keep this ground is a reflection on Jesus Christ. When people come in here, especially for this conference, this building should be clean. It should shine white as snow. The grass should be cut. There should be no garbage in the cans because we're representatives of Jesus Christ. And our clothing should be nice. It should be worth it. Where we were crucified, somebody would want our clothes too. They parted His garments among them. And upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched Him. They watched Him bleed. They watched Him suffer. They watched Him die. That's why we should take our dress and our humility and our meekness and what we represent as the body of Christ should be nice. I mean, there's no other word for it. So when you're going about and you see something that needs to be done, do it. Do it for God. Do it for Christ. Don't sit down and watch Him. And with that, I'm going to close, brother. That's all.